This is Logan Seculo. Today we're talking once again about the border crisis as undocumented immigrants are to receive free housing on taxpayer dime before U.S. citizens.
Live from Washington, D.C., Seculo Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. This is Logan Seculo. I'll be joining you today. Be hosting. Joining me is Will Haynes, Andy Agonimo, also in D.C., Than Bennett. And we're going to have also who's joining us later today, Will?
We have Major Jerron Spillman from the IDF will be joining in the back half hour of the broadcast to give an update on Israel.
Yes, we have the IDF spokesperson. We also have Harry Hutchinson in studio. So we're going to have a full panel today talking about what's going on, not only in Israel, as we did yesterday, but also the current crisis at the border. And yes, we use that word because as of today, detentions at the border have reached a 20-year high. And just this week, people have been picked up. Just to clarify, the latest numbers, in April, nearly 179,000 people were encountered, as they say. And if you go down the list of some of who these people are, a wanted homicide suspect was arrested, 2,500 pounds of meth, which is worth $5.5 million, was found and concealed in concealed medical shipments, two men that were on assault charges and arrested, two sex offenders, bunch of gang members. It's not great. You know, this is obviously, there are people who are coming here for humanitarian need. They feel like they need to get out of their country. I respect and I understand the plight, and I'm not discounting that. But this is sort of the current situation, and on the heels of that, you have the HUD, Will,
Housing and Urban Development Secretary,
Marsha Fudge.
That's right. She was asked by reporters yesterday if they would be prioritizing U.S. citizens over undocumented immigrants in public housing.
Public housing. Getting people in. And her answer was kind of unequivocally,
she said, no. The answer is no. And now this is a reversal of a policy, as the Biden administration tends to be doing.
We have to clarify always what happens here. And look, I understand that you do want to get as many people probably off the streets as you can. Look, I'm not, again, discounting that fact that you don't want people. Just you want, if you can help people, I'm okay with helping people. However, when the U.S. citizens are not being prioritized, it's a little odd. It's odd that there was a specific answer. And you know why there's a specific answer? Because in 2019, then HUD Secretary Ben Carson, friend of this show, friend of the family, was working on specifically prioritizing American citizens over those who had immigrated illegally for getting public housing. So once again, if the Trump administration did it, it must be bad. And we've seen that bite them very quickly, whether that is in this situation, whether that is in Israel, whether that is in so many different pockets where they've just said Trump bad, us good, and look what happens. Disaster strikes. And look, there is a few lines open right now because I haven't promoted you guys to call in. But I have a feeling a lot of you have a lot to say. So we're going to go around the panel. We're going to talk to everybody, but I also want to hear from you. So give me a call, 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. If you're watching it on Facebook, share this. If you're watching it on YouTube, hit that thumbs up, subscribe. That all helps more people to see and hear the truth of what's going on. You can also follow everyone on all our social media platforms. You can follow me at Logan Seculo on certain things on Instagram or however you want to follow me. You'll find me there. Hello. All right. And we got a lot going on. Yeah, we're here to rock and roll. So we're going to be taking a lot of your calls coming up. Again, I want you also to check out all the work that we're doing at the ACLJ, not only in relation to Israel, but also what's going on with life. As we know, there's a big case being taken up. We're talking about that. The Supreme Court on essentially could have a specific Roe versus Wade outcome shift. We talk about that. There's a lot of great new articles on that, all available at ACLJ.org. And not just from the guys you see here and the people you see on this show, from people all over the ACLJ. There's hundreds of us who work on these things. You also can sign petitions, get involved, donate if you feel, and even get legal help. Go to ACLJ.org, check out the ACLJ app, and find us all on all social medias. We'll be right back. Social media.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Seculo. I want to start off this segment. We talked about how, you know, this is a current situation going on at the border and how the HUD secretary said, sorry, if you're an American citizen, you're not going to be prioritized over people who have entered the country illegally for public housing. Everyone's getting the same treatment. And we don't necessarily think that's necessarily the greatest idea, but mainly beyond the idea of just getting people off the streets, which I'm very much for comprehensive immigration reform. What really at the heart of this is that it was a Trump administration policy that Ben Carson was working on. And again, when they hear Trump administration, they're going to go 100% the other way. We've seen that again in Israel. We've seen that throughout. We've seen that with COVID relief. We've seen so many issues. And trust me, we're going to talk about even COVID relief and how that is impacting this. However, let's take a listen to Nancy Pelosi. So if you think I'm just, you know, blowing smoke here, take a listen to Nancy Pelosi, Bite 12.
You had to deconstruct the horrible situation that the Trump administration had created at the border. Deconstruct it so you can reconstruct a better system. And they have.
And they have reconstructed a better system as detentions at the southwest border reach a 20-year high. And we've had an aggressive shift in the last 6 months. I'm not sure what's changed the last 6 months, Will. Why there'd be such a big problem that would happen at the border.
Well, and you mentioned the COVID pandemic and what goes along with that. A lot of people have lost their jobs, their livelihood, and their housing. So there's already a housing crisis among segments of this country. And you think about places like California that have had a housing crisis for decades with a homeless population that needs housing. And they are, in many cases, American citizens that need that housing. But now you see the shift in the Biden administration of declaring that a policy that was being worked on by the Trump administration, especially during this time of need, great need, an elevated need in our country, that they're no longer going to prioritize those that are here as American citizens or even documented immigrants here in the United States. And I had that question for Harry Hutchison. What kind of signal does this send to people that need this housing, that need this assistance from the government in this case? This isn't a choice in many cases that people have where they're without the necessary housing. What kind of signal does this send?
That's a great question. I think the signal that has been sent, and I think it's loud and clear, is that the Biden administration at bottom does not truly care about the American people. They care really about one thing and one thing only, reversing each and every Trump-era policy that was working, whether it was prioritizing Americans for housing, whether it was controlling the border, whether it was building the wall, whether it was defending Israel, whether it was denying Iran additional funds, which they then used to fuel terror in Israel. So if a Trump-era policy was working, it is now clearly and unmistakably a candidate for reversal. They call this deconstruction. That takes us back to the postmodern era of the deconstructionists in France. Those policies were nonsensical. And as Camille Paglia has said, postmodernism and deconstructionism simply represents fossilized policies that do not work and have been rightly rejected by American citizens.
Yeah, I mean, this is just a topic that keeps on growing and growing, and we're having such a big problem. And I feel like we're kind of on repeat. You know, we've done these shows. You may be like, Logan, I've heard this is a rerun. It's not. We're live right now. But because we're talking about immigration once again, because we're talking about the border crisis once again, or later on Israel, it feels sometimes like that we're on repeat. But that's nothing new, Than, in Washington, D.C. These topics seem to continue to come up. And the question really is when will change actually occur? Will we ever get comprehensive immigration reform? Will we ever have issues resolved? But it seems like as political power shift, it doesn't matter. It always just goes back to the same old, same old. And sadly, so a lot of times, that ends up in loss of life, which is what's happening in Israel. It's what's happening in the border.
Logan, I don't think you're going to see that reality in Washington, D.C. until there's a mindset shift. And that mindset shift has to be one of actually wanting this this problem to be solved. Look, I would say there's some blame for this on both sides of the aisle, but it's very clear right now, Logan, that the crisis on the border is something that they're looking to manufacture for political gain, because if they were trying to reach a solution, there's a pretty clear way to do that. I mean, if you back up just about 6 months, the migrant protection protocols that were in place in the Trump administration, they were working, Logan. I mean, there's no way around that. And I love how you opened the broadcast talking about how some of these migrant programs are very close to the heart of the ACLJ. I think about the asylum program, Logan. Sure. That is one that we have worked with for decades, and that is not traditionally something that Republicans in Washington, D.C. have pushed. That has been something that largely Democrats have supported. But right now, Logan, it is being exploited. You don't see legitimate asylum seekers coming in through the asylum program. You see people abusing it. You see people taking the spot of legitimate asylum seekers. So I would just tell you, there are bipartisan proposals that if both the House and the Senate were willing to put forward, they could pass right now. But at this point, Logan, from where I sit, it doesn't look like they want to solve this problem.
This even happened on Fox News. They're about to put out a brand new interview with former President George W. Bush, who I know is a polarizing figure on both sides of the aisle. During his time, I feel like he was polarizing against Democrats. I feel like a lot of Trump supporters feel against, you know, maybe not supportive of President George W. Bush. But even he, in this new interview, specifically states, Andy, that the broken immigration system is really on Congress. It's really on D.C. They have failed to fix this problem. And this becomes a partisan issue where people's lives are at stake.
Yes, he did say that. I read that very carefully. He said that it was not the current president. It's not the former presidents. That includes himself. So he's trying to, you know, sort of slide under the covers. There, not saying it wasn't me either. Yeah. It wasn't Trump either. It wasn't Biden. It wasn't Clinton. It was all Congress's fault because Congress did not fix the broken immigration system. Look, we have been calling for immigration reform on this program for years and years and years. Mm-hmm. Comprehensive immigration reform. That's not what we have right now. But President Bush, again, as you said, a polarizing influence, and one that I'm not entirely, you know, convinced by the things that he says, but I do agree with him in this. It is Congress's fault that it hasn't happened, and Congress has not taken any steps right now to cure the situation, and Congress is not, at least under the control of the liberal left-wing Democrats, going to take any steps to cure the situation.
It will not be fixed.
Well, and it does go back to kind of the whole idea of the swamp, which was talked about so much during the Trump era. And when you have the members of Congress that have been there for decades that have no motivation to actually fix this, instead they'll use it as talking points, they'll use it as political chess pieces for their next election. So to some degree, it then would fall back on a strong president to use leadership to try to convince both parties in Congress to come together and get beyond their swampy tactics and to move forward with something that could benefit not just the American people, but for people that want to come into this country the right way, to use immigration laws properly, to get in line, as many people do. And when you have this free-for-all at the border and people abusing asylum laws, what it ends up doing is hurting people that have, A, legitimate claims of asylum, like Than alluded to earlier, but also people that wanted to come to this country and went and knew that they didn't have a legitimate asylum claim, so they went through the immigration process as the law allows for, and many of those have to wait significant amount of time, and that gets broadened when the folks that exploit the system and the holes in the border get ahead of them by subverting the entire process. And that's what we're seeing when leadership, such as the president and his administration, starts undoing things that disincentivize breaking the rules. Now there is a secretary of HUD taking away a disincentive to come here illegally because she's saying, no, there's no priority. If you get in and then there's a need and you fill out the form, I don't know why the form wouldn't have something on there, your immigration status, but there's no priority here. It's a free-for-all.
All right, and there's one other part of this piece of this puzzle that we're going to talk about in the next segment, and I want to hear from you. Listen, in the last segment of this show, in about a half an hour, we're going to hear from an IDF spokesperson. It's going to be a very interesting talk on Israel. We're going to talk about the narrative that's being pushed and how what things are really like in Israel and how what's happening, what's the current status. Again, that is going to be from Major Doron Spielman with the IDF, again, the IDF spokesman. And we're going to have that in the last segment. That's usually where I take calls. So I'm going to take calls in the next segment and the one after that at 1-800-684-3110. But just to tease you, one other thing that we're talking about related to the border. Guess what? $2 billion in COVID funds, COVID relief, COVID testing, whatever it needs to be, is being diverted to the border, not crisis. So we're going to talk about that coming up because, I mean, $2 billion in COVID funds will be diverted. And we're going to talk about why, how that can even happen in Washington, D.C., why that's important to you, as well as obviously the topic that we were speaking about when it comes to housing. So I want to hear from you, 1-800-684-3110. I'm going to take some calls in the next segment, 1-800-684-3110.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.
Welcome back to Seculo. This is Logan Seculo, joined by a full panel, and we're going to have a guest on later on, a major in the IDF who is an IDF spokesperson. We're going to discuss a lot of what's going on in Israel. That's in the final segment. Again, I want to take some calls coming up here in this segment as well as next, so 1-800-684-3110. One thing that is kind of being overshadowed is that the mess is so bad at the border right now that they are diverting funds from the COVID relief, COVID testing, and the COVID bills, essentially, at the price tag of $2 billion to be diverted. That includes $850 million from the Department of Health and Human Services that was meant for testing from Joe Biden's $1.9 trillion virus relief bill. And they will also use, Becerra also said they'll be using an additional $850 million from a fund meant to replenish emergency medical supplies nationwide and $436 million from other health programs to be moved to the border. Again, I don't even really understand the ins and outs on how this can just happen when it's not what people voted for. It's not what they passed. It's not the bill that was passed. But we're able to just move funds around willy-nilly. And it seems absurd, but it is how Washington can work.
Well, and this was one of the biggest criticisms of the COVID relief package that was put forward by the Biden administration. With the price tag of $1.9 trillion, it was criticized that it wasn't targeted relief. It wasn't necessarily going to end up going to things that were directly affected by the virus. And it clearly shows in some degree that they overspent in some areas, that they over-budgeted. And so if they can move $2 billion away from what its intention was with the COVID relief bill that went through Congress and was signed by President Biden, and then be diverted to the what they would consider a non-crisis at the border, but clearly they need this extra $2 billion to be able to replenish funds. It shows that many of the criticisms from the right were correct, that it wasn't targeted enough, and they had too much extra built in there, and instead they printed the money and then are moving it around. But I wanted to ask Harry about that because the economic ramifications of, one, over-budgeting with a giant stimulus package that wasn't necessarily in this line of what people were saying, that it's not targeted, it's not going to go help directly with COVID relief. But now we see what they're able to do and what they need to do in many cases. How does that affect the economy?
Well, it leads to skyrocketing inflation. It leads to an explosion in gas prices, and the prospect of inflation in the future also rises. And so we should see potentially a rise in interest rates, which will perhaps slow down sales within the housing market, but also increase people's monthly payments. Keep in mind that lumber prices have gone up approximately 400% over the last 12 months or so. Who is paying this cost or this price? It's the American people. So effectively, what we're talking about is simply a hidden tax on all Americans, notwithstanding the Biden administration's claim that no one who made under $400,000 would pay any additional taxes going forward. So I think at the end of the day, COVID relief and many of these other policies are simply a shell game. They are a sham. They allow the Democrats to enact a policy preference for COVID payments, but then use those funds for anything that they indeed prefer, inconsistently, of course, with the priorities of the American people. And that, I think, is the central problem.
There's some people standing up against this type of thing. Obviously, us, the ACLJ, we have a lot of work going on related to these topics. But even some that are maybe having a little fun with it, but in a way that I think that a lot of you watching and listening will maybe connect with. And that is Representative Hinson of Iowa. Ashley Hinson has actually introduced a bill, or will introduce a bill, I think later today.
Today, yes.
Today we'll introduce a bill. And you may giggle at this, but sometimes stuff has to happen to move, you know, the ball forward. A bill that would bar taxpayer money from being used for travel expenses of Vice President Harris until she visits the southern border. And it actually talks about the crisis that's going on. And this is from Hinson. She said, we have an absolute crisis at the border. And Vice President Harris was appointed to lead the administration's efforts on the border crisis. But it's been 56 days. And in that time, she hasn't been to the border once. She hasn't held a news conference on the administration's efforts for a plan. And I think it's time that she does that. So she's putting forward this to hopefully wake some people up, get some attention to what's happening. And yes, will this pass? Likely not. I don't think this is something that will probably go through, Will, but at least get some eyeballs on the fact that still 56 days have passed since they declared her the non-crisis czar.
Right.
And right, and still nothing. Not one visit to the border. We've seen, and look, that's what I said. It's just like yesterday. It's diverting. It's, can you answer a question on Israel? Not unless you get in front of my car and I'll run you over. Ha ha, just kidding. Moving on. Cargo's flying by. It's a lot of diversion. It's a lot of trying to get the story to move along. And I understand, look, Dan, I understand in D.C., part of it, that's the game. Part of it is you got to keep people distracted, because when they see what's actually happening, it's not too pretty.
Well, and I think she can make that real point even if this bill doesn't get passed. I mean, because there are issues that Vice President Harris could have an immediate impact on if she did go down and visit the border. So if it takes introducing a piece of legislation to actually motivate that trip, then I say good for Congressman Hinson.
Absolutely.
Look, one of the things, Logan, that the Vice President, I think, could accomplish very, very quickly if she would put her support behind it. We've talked about it on this broadcast before, but there's a bill from Senator Blackburn that I think would make a significant dent in the child trafficking that we're seeing. Is it the whole problem? No, it's not the whole problem, but it's a big part of it, Logan. And if that bill would pass, it would say, and if an adult would come to the border with a minor in their custody and they couldn't provide the proper paperwork to prove that they were a relative, then we as the United States, as a compassionate country, are going to do DNA testing to make sure that they're not being smuggled.
Yeah.
Look, if Vice President Harris would put her support behind that, Logan, it would be part of U.S. law next week. She ought to do it.
I don't understand why they don't. I understand why it seems like the left preaches that they're the ones with the heart and the compassion and the true, this, but when it comes to issues that they are failing on, and that, look, a lot of administrations have struggled with big topic issues that are not easy fixes. They can't just own up to it and go, look, I'm going down to the border to see what's physically going on. Cause when I see it with my own eyes, at least it'll show that I have heart. At least it'll show that I have compassion for the people that are going through this, not just the locals that are dealing with the crisis, people coming into their area, but also the people that are coming over. I don't think there's a lot of people out there who don't understand that there is either illegal activity happening or there are people who are desperately trying to get out of the situation they're in. However, when you don't have the vice president, who is supposed to be the border czar, not even willing to make the few hour flight from Washington to the border, it speaks volumes to who some of these people are as human beings. Like we talked about George W. Bush, out there saying he was the compassionate conservative, and that was like the key thing 20 years ago. What happened to those people? What happened to that? What happened to your Democratic Party, where you're supposed to be the people of that? Are there. You're supposed to be the ones who you're out there preaching change and love and acceptance. But when it comes down to dealing with real issues that are a lot harder to solve than a simple bill or a quick change or, hey, the Trump did it this way, we're going to do it the other way, it falls apart miserably. But again, what is the media going to focus on? Oh, look, Joe Biden drove a cool new Ford truck. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Again, in the final segment, we're joined by an IDF, Israeli Defense Force spokesperson, so you get the real story of what's going on in Israel. We're going to take calls in the next segment, 1-800-684-3110. If you don't get us live, find us live now on Facebook and on YouTube at ACLJ.org.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
live from Washington, D.C., Sekulow Live. And now your host, Logan Sekulow.
Thanks for joining us. This is Logan Sekulow again with a full panel on the show today. Will Haynes, Harry Hutchinson, Andy Economo, and in Washington, D.C., Than Bennett. Again, later on the show in the third segment, we're going to be joined by Major Doron Spielman with the IDF. That's right, from the Israeli Defense Force. He is the spokesperson, one of the spokespeople there. And he's going to be going over a lot of the topics. And what I think will be good for you as a listener, I think that you watch what's going on in the news. You're seeing your social media flooded with people who have misinformation. And sometimes it's hard to argue with those people. What I want to give him is the opportunity to give you the facts. So when your friends and your people that you discuss this with, maybe at work or wherever it is, are hitting you with facts about how they think Israel's committing war crimes, all this, that you have the knowledge to respond. So we're going to do that in the final segment. We're going to dive deep with him and talk a lot about what's actually happening there, how you can respond, and how we can support the state of Israel in a time of just gigantic crisis. But to go back to the states, what we're dealing with for the majority of the show is what's happening at the border. We've discussed a lot in the first half hour of the show, whether that was that housing was being diverted, or not necessarily being prioritized for United States citizens who are dealing with a lot of economic fallout, like I said, the last year, and that anyone, including if you came here illegally, that you're in the same order. There's no preferential treatment, whether we're talking about the fact that Vice President Harris has still not visited, whether we're talking about COVID money, for testing and for whatever was needed. It's maybe overblown a little, so therefore billions of dollars were moved to the non-crisis at the border. A lot of double talk, a lot of people who need to wake up and realize that not only is there this crisis, but then a lot of it still goes back to the fact that you have Pelosi and you have, speaking on this, and it's just the truth is it's just reversing a Trump era policy to do it, regardless if it destroys what's happening, it destroys the world, really, when you look at what's going on in the Middle East.
Well, and as Than brought up earlier, there are bipartisan proposals in the U.S. Senate currently that would help alleviate some of these problems. But it comes down to whether or not the leadership has the courage to go along with something that may be bipartisan and they may have to work with Republicans, or if they are so afraid of the left wing of their party that anything short of blanket amnesty and open borders is a non-starter. And that's what you start to see here, Andy, is that the crisis at the border could have bipartisan agreement. It could have moderate voices in both parties that could come together and say, okay, we're not going to get everything here. We're not going to get everything here. But what's going on is a crisis. It's a humanitarian disaster, and it's getting worse month over month. Let's do something. But the party leadership seems to be afraid of what may happen if they try to do that.
Well, that's absolutely correct. What we have is a laughing, cackling Vice President Kamala Harris, who's been given a job by the President of the United States, and that's to cure the crisis at the border. He doesn't want to call it a crisis, but then he admits that there's a problem at the border. All right, I'll give him that. Call it whatever you want. We've got serious issues at the border, and you've put your vice president in charge. Whenever I prosecuted a criminal case, I went to the scene of the crime. I went to the scene of the disaster. Presidents go to the scenes of the crimes and the scenes of the disaster. Vice presidents need to do the same. But the problem is, when you see it, you own it. When you see it, you can't deny it anymore. You're going to have press there covering these things right behind you with cameras showing these 179,000 encounters in April of 2021 as compared to 7,000 a year before. And so Kamala Harris cannot afford the publicity of having seen that, and because then she has to do something about it. So instead, what they say she's going to do is she is going to discuss this on a larger scale and get to the root cause. And it's like I've said on this program, instead of prosecuting the murder, I want to go and talk about the root causes of why people murder people. That's backwards.
All right, we'll be right back with more on Sekulow. In the meantime, check out what we're doing on ACLJ.org. Download the app. Follow us on all social media. Give me a call right now. I'm going to try to take calls in the next segment. 1-800-684-3110. Call now if you want to be on the air. 1-800-684-3110.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Seculo. We're going to dive right back into this because our team will send us a tweet. Allie, our team, sent us a tweet that came out from Kamala Harris, what, just last night?
It was last night, yeah.
That is unbelievable. When this is where it feels like we're writing a script to like a, you know, a funny, goofy Hollywood movie where there's a crisis, and what did the leadership do? They come up with an excuse that no one rationally could understand when they're at our border right now. They are at the all-time high, 20-year all-time high of having this issue. And Will, let's just read the tweet.
So the vice president last night tweeted, and there's a photo of she's leading a meeting at what I assume is either executive office buildings or in the White House. But it says, injustice is a root cause of migration. Today I met with Guatemalan justice leaders to discuss the need for transparent and impartial legal systems in the region. I look forward to working with many stakeholders to help Guatemalans build a safer and better future at home.
So this is the solution, is to meet with Guatemalan justice leaders to discuss their needs and how we can, you know, again, take a look what's going on at the root. Well, no problem with that. Go do that. But while you're at it, you could maybe visit what's going on in Texas, visit what's going on in California, visit what's going on in your own country when this crisis is literally at your doorstep and going in through your door. Harry, I know you got a lot to say. I can tell it's on your mind. When you read things like this, it does infuriate a lot of people because it feels like, again, like you're being mocked almost as someone who can think for themselves.
Well, I agree with you, but I would go one step further. We are indeed being mocked by our own politicians. The Biden administration has created a slow-motion disaster machine, and it is being further advanced by a border crisis, one of their own making. And the root cause of this disaster is not the lack of an impartial justice system in Guatemala. It's not the lack of climate change resilience, as Vice President Kamala Harris claims, or the even more laughable claim that the climate suddenly changed on January the 20th, 2021 at noon without warning.
Right.
In essence, that is the essential bottom line claim that the Biden administration is prepared to make. In reality, of course, as we all know, the root cause is the failure of the Biden administration to simply continue Trump-era policies that were indeed working, including the Remain in Mexico policy, reducing the number of asylum entrants, reducing the number of refugees that we admitted. All of those policies were working, and we encourage the so-called Northern Triangle in Central America, those countries, to keep their citizens, or at least to adhere to international rules with respect to asylum requests. So I think the bottom line is we all know why we have a border crisis, and it's due to the incompetence of the Biden administration.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that this is an ongoing issue that we're going to keep an eye on, because when you look at what the Biden administration has done in such a short period of time, it does sort of mess with your head, because it has been so destructive the last 6 months, 5 months. It can be disturbing. It can be disturbing as an American to just not know and not trust what's happening, because you're seeing infrastructure fall apart. You're seeing the gas shortage that happened last week. You're seeing a crisis in the Middle East like we haven't seen in years. We're going to talk about that a lot in the next segment. And now double down on what's going on at the border. It is overwhelming, the amount of information. And it's also overwhelming that it's barely reported, that often the mainstream media will decide to divert your attention to something comical, or divert your attention to something like the Ford truck reveal, which is great. Again, totally fine with it. I'm pro electric car. I think that's awesome that technology is moving forward. But when there's real issues and you get answers like, "Well, I'm meeting with the Guatemalan leaders
virtually," virtually.
Oh, it was virtually.
So yeah. they released the photo of her in the vice president's office, mm-hmm. the ceremonial office. But it was a virtual meeting. So they got the photo op, but it was also a virtual meeting. So the other interesting point, though, because Harry brought up the cap of the refugee numbers that the Trump administration had lowered due to the overwhelming influx of that, and how that was working to kind of abate the crisis and that he had inherited earlier. So then you look at the Biden administration and said they were going to change that. And then they didn't, because, and according to them, it was necessary due to the current situation to remain at the lowered number that the Trump administration had set. But then when the far left pushed back, they ended up reversing the policy and went away way beyond what they had originally thought they were going to do, because they were forced to by the left wing of the party, not because it was good policy, but because they got caught saying, yeah, this is actually necessary right now, and the left wing would not allow that.
All right, let's go ahead and take some calls, because we're not going to be able to get to many in the next segment. Let's go to Kim on line two.
Hi, this is Kim.
Yes, go ahead, Kim.
Hi, I have a thought, and I am just curious on what your thoughts are on that. It seems that, you know, Harris in, you know, dealing with the border crisis is focused more on a globalist worldview and getting us in step with other countries rather than, you know, doing the job that she ran for, which is protecting our American interests.
Well, you also raise an interesting point, because in this virtual meeting, there's a readout I've got here from the White House website where she says that the work we are doing in this region is motivated by a number of principles, including my firm belief that if we give people a sense of hope, that if they stay, help is on the way, that they will indeed do what they want to do, which is remain with their families and remain in their community. And you bring up this globalist worldview, and does she think that they're going to change the judicial system in the Central American countries that they think have such a problem that people are willing to abandon everything and take a journey on foot, hiding in train cars, this treacherous journey? This is not an easy trek to go from Central America to the United States border, that she can accomplish this in short order and give people enough hope to be like, you know what, that journey really isn't that worth it, because I saw the vice president of the United States had a virtual meeting, and she's giving me enough hope that you can dismantle the corruption in this country and you can redo our entire judicial system and get an entirely new panel of lawyers and barristers in this country that can now make this okay enough that I'm fine with staying. Like that's what she's saying.
Right.
And that's absurd.
Absolutely. Let's go ahead and take some more calls. I want to get through as many of them as I can before we got to go to the next segment. So the next segment, we're going to have on an IDF spokesperson. I think it's an important conversation. Let's go to Eric in Maryland on line one. Eric, welcome.
How you doing, guys? She doesn't have enough time to get to the border because she's too busy running foreign policy and being president.
Anyone want to take this? Andy, you got
that? Yeah, I think that's true. If anyone is, I don't know if anybody's running the government. I mean, all I know is there's an old man in a Ford truck flooring the gas pedal in Michigan because someone asked him a question about Israel and said, no, I'm not going to answer it unless you want to get in front of the truck and I'll run you down.
It zooms away.
That's your president right there.
It's the most perfect picture of how this administration is operating. Yeah. You're asked a tough question, run away.
Like a Hanna-Barbera cartoon.
Go as fast as you can. So I don't know. I don't know who's running the country. It's on autopilot, but it certainly isn't Joe Biden. I can tell you that. It's a pretty pitiful job.
Thank you for your comment. Let's move on. Walter in Tennessee on line three. Walter, welcome.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I've really worried about, well, I shouldn't say worried. I've really debated this in my mind for a long time, and I feel like the path to citizenship for an American or for an immigrant is extremely difficult.
Yes.
I mean, the test in itself is one that most Americans could not pass. So, I mean, we're kind of going round and round and round in circles. We've been doing this for decades. What is it that's keeping us from simply saying we are going to fix what it takes to become a citizen legally? We're going to shorten the time frame. Sure. We're going to change the test. And we're going
to
fix this.
Walter, we only got a minute left, but you make an excellent point. Something we've been preaching on here for years and years is there does need to be some reform. Harry.
Clearly you're correct, but I think the main obstacle to reform is the fact that the left wing wants to retain this issue because they see it as an issue that provides them with a long-term political advantage.
Marketing.
And currently, the only people that benefit from this policy are leaders of drug cartels, human trafficking, and left-wing globalists who need a nanny.
Absolutely. I think that is the number one issue, which is all politics. This is the problem. These issues never get resolved because some people don't want them to get resolved. Just like when you saw the mask mandate came down, the next one happened, the New York Times said, wait a second, this is too early. Don't trust the CDC. Though they've been saying it for a year. Because these become politicized, become issues you could fundraise on. We'll be right back with more an IDF spokesperson.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Welcome back to Secula. We're joined by a very special guest, Major Deron Spielman from the IDF, IDF spokesperson, who is calling in. And I think there are a lot of topics I'd like to hit. We got about 9 minutes with you, Major. And the one that I want to lead with is something that I've struggled with, people have struggled with for years, which is to paint the appropriate picture of what's going on in Israel. I've spent a lot of time in Israel over the last few decades. When you're there, you see the true story. But when it comes to the mainstream media, you don't always get that. And people, you buy into it, their friends turn against Israel, people are fighting back to try to figure out how to discuss this. So for you, I mean, it's as a person who's a spokesperson, what can we do as Americans, and how can you help arm Americans as well with the appropriate effects of what's actually happening in this situation when so much of the media is one-sided and feels almost pro-Hamas at this point?
Thank you very much, first of all, for having me, and also thank you for the question. I think it's a great question, and it's something I would love to help with. From the Israeli perspective, first of all, to answer the first part, we're in the middle of protecting our citizens from an unprovoked attack of 4,000-plus rockets that have been raining down on us. I just came from Ashkelon, where 3 or 4 hours ago, a family was having lunch, and then they heard a siren. The mother and the son, there's a mother, a father, and a son and a daughter. The mother and the son ran into the shelter, and because of that, they're alive. The entire home was obliterated, and the father and daughter weren't there. The daughter's actually in the army. The father was out of work, but you just see that it was a miracle that family is still alive, and there are thousands, every rocket, that is the potential of every rocket. And so from an Israeli perspective, we're under attack, and at the same time, we have restraint in attacking our enemies in a way that nobody else ever would, meaning any other country in the world would level and obliterate their enemy if they were shooting rockets at them. But we managed to send notifications, text messages, phone calls, knocks on the roof with unarmed, you know, rockets to make sure the buildings are cleared. And then if there's still someone left, we don't hit. And then you look at the media, and like you said, when you look at the media, the reality simply has no connection to what the media is doing. And it's disheartening, but we're strong people. And so that is why I think your question is so important. First of all, that is really how the Israeli public feels.
Yeah, it is important. It's not only, it's very disturbing as someone who spent time there, who's experienced it, who really at least has a general idea of how things operate in Israel and what it looks like. And we have a lot of conversations happening right now. And well, I know you got a question related to this. When it comes to even like the Iron Dome, people go, well, you know, Israel, they intercept all these rockets, so it doesn't really matter. Well, you're right now just talking about the fact that, no, that some do land, some do kill people. Things do happen. It's not like it's all protected. And the fact that you even have to have it is where I don't understand how that is a defense that keeps coming up. Oh, well, they have this, you know, Iron Dome. It's fine. You could shoot whatever rockets at them. It doesn't matter. They're not going to land. Obviously, some do. And even if they don't, there's still rockets being fired at them, Will.
Well, and also you mentioned that the media talks a lot, and right now they're wanting to talk about a potential ceasefire, and they have almost these false equivalencies of two antagonists in this. But when we really know that Israel is under attack, an unprovoked attack by the terrorists in Gaza. But I did want to ask you about that, because there is so much talk about a ceasefire, but really the operations and the objectives of the defensive position of Israel is still ongoing. Could you talk a little bit about what those objectives are and how Israel is accomplishing them?
Absolutely. And you hit the nail on the head. From a military perspective, we are moving forward with all of our objectives as if a ceasefire is not even being talked about. And as long as we don't have a ceasefire, we are moving forward with those. So we began our objectives. First of all, Hamas did not expect the Israeli response. All of the intel shows that they thought they would shoot a few rockets, gain some credit, and the Israeli people would tolerate it. Did not happen this time. They shot rockets at Jerusalem. And by the way, it's important to note, of that barrage of rockets at Jerusalem, Nobody was killed in Jerusalem. However, 18 people, including 9 children, were killed in the Gaza Strip because a series of those rockets fell short. So they're killing their own people. What we've done in response is over the last 11 days, essentially we've neutralized and destroyed infrastructure that took them 10 years to build. Most importantly was this underground terror city that they created, almost like a spider web of terror underneath Gaza to transport weapons and terrorists, so that when they shoot from behind civilian areas, the terrorists themselves are nowhere to be seen, and you're left with, you know, children and parents. That's the whole strategy. We've managed to rewind the clock on that by many, many, many years over the last 11 days of fighting. We've taken out a number of their senior commanders. We took out 160 of their operatives, including the number 2 and 3 intel people, three generals and their general staff, the head of northern Gaza. And what we've done starting last night is we shifted our operations to the southern area of the Gaza Strip, which is the launching pad for all those rockets that are terrorizing people of the south. And we have to understand what this means. Hamas put all of those weapon storage facilities literally inside the cupboard of people's homes. So, you know, you've got your fridge, you've got your cereal, you open up the next cupboard, you've got eight rockets sitting there. And what do? We send texts, we send do all the things, we wait for the house to clear, and then we have to hit the pantry. And it's grueling work because we don't want to kill civilians.
Of course.
But that is what we're doing right now. We're going after the weapons supply areas, the manufacturing areas, and even over 11 days, we have taken away, I would say, probably up to 5 years of their capacity that they've built up.
Major Spielman, let me ask you this. The international community has been expressing concern about a potential humanitarian crisis in Gaza. But Israel, we know, is sending humanitarian aid into Gaza. Why has Hamas's response, what is the response of Hamas to this sending of humanitarian aid into Gaza by Israel?
So I was there today. I was at the Erez crossing. I thought it was important to bring the media there and show them we're sending the trucks through. But the problem is I couldn't get in. Why couldn't I get in? Because Hamas and Palestinian Islamic Jihad have been incessantly bombing with rockets and mortars their own humanitarian aid crossing. I couldn't bring reporters in because it was too dangerous.
That's unbelievable.
I mean, it's almost beyond belief that Hamas, who says that they are for the protection or the advancement of the Gazan people, they're bombing their own humanitarian aid corridors, and that food is not reaching those people. Not only that, there are 200,000 people in Gaza that haven't had electricity. Why? Because Hamas shot rockets that landed on their own electricity and power facilities. And so Hamas, it plays into their whole plan. We know that Hamas, if they really cared about their citizens, they wouldn't leave them in the line of fire and hide underground. And if they have an opportunity to stop humanitarian aid, to increase the misery of the people of Gaza as a pretext to then turn to the world and claim humanitarian crisis, that's exactly what they're doing. If I could just say one more thing, I want to go just to the first thing you said, what can we do in America and around the world?
We're running really short on time. Yeah,
I really think the bottom line is, I just think the bottom line is make sure that Hamas is responsible and just put away this deception. It's the only way to help the people of Gaza. And they're the ones who suffer the more that this kind of charade is peddled to the world.
Thank you so much, Major Spielman. We have to bring you back on for a longer segment. You were excellent. Hopefully you all feel like you have the power now to go out and talk to your friends and neighbors about what's actually going on in Israel. And that's why we have shows like this where you get these kind of people on the show. Thank you so much for joining us today. We'll be back tomorrow. Visit ACLJ.org to see all that's going on. Talk to you then.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.